Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have Hall of Fame quarterback Joe Namath coming on today's show. Looking forward to that at 10:20. And news and notes with Paula Bovin, the professor, checks in for her weekly segment. There's some broadcast news I want to get into with Paula. Last year, I accepted a position at Cronkite at Arizona State in their broadcast school to adjunct last fall. And when I submitted to them the syllabus of what I was going to teach, I had Gail Searin's name in there. And they said, that's very cool, you're going to do that. Gail Searin's, if you're not familiar, the first female NFL play-by-play broadcaster. And there's not been one since until now. So, and some guys just can't fathom having to listen to a female do NFL games. This story over the weekend was just met with anger, resentment, bitterness, and much more. So we're going to get into that. There's actually a lot of broadcast stuff that happened over the weekend. I didn't know Tony Gonzalez was hired by Fox, but he was. You know, Eric, with the TV show over on Fox, that might be a way to go now to get him, because CBS just was not helpful. It's the way they were. So some broadcast stuff to get to. This week is all about Lonzo Ball tomorrow night. Tomorrow night is the draft lottery. Tomorrow night, the years of sucking, taking the pipe as the Suns have done repeatedly, trying hard to suck so badly they get the number one overall pick in the NBA draft lottery. And yet you just feel like the NBA somehow is going to have the frozen ball, the frozen envelope in there, and the Suns are going to get pulled out like the fifth pick. For sucking so bad. And we're going to sit here and have to debate whether Lauri Markkanen is the guy that they should go get. But if tomorrow night, and the Suns are having a party, I'm going to go down to it. Eric's talking about going down to it. They'll have a media availability afterwards. If those fans, if they get the number one overall pick tomorrow night, then because this team has been so dysfunctional, they've got this major decision to make, which to me is no-brainer. You take Lonzo Ball, but yet there's so much anger and angst. Of course, I'd rather it be talking about Golden State versus the Suns or San Antonio versus the – I just want the Suns to even sniff a playoff game, because 2010 was the last time they got in the playoffs. 2010. You think it's bad in New York with that awful, wretched franchise? There's only two franchises – two that have had a longer playoff drought than our beloved Phoenix Suns, our hometown heroes, the hometown five. Yeah, I'm being a bit of a homer on this one. I don't care. When you're in the same company as the Sacramento Kings and the Minnesota T-Wolves, those are the only two teams that have been out of the playoffs longer than the Suns. The Kings and Timberwolves. It can all end. All of it.
If I told you.
Yeah.
That the 2017-2018 Suns would be the equivalent of the 2016-2017 Utah Jazz.
Yes.
You'd probably be pretty happy with that, wouldn't you?
Make the playoffs.
Make the playoffs, win a round,
mm-hmm.
and then become the sacrificial lamb for the Warriors.
Yeah, but which is fine.
Totally fine. Can you imagine totally just fine. Having the Suns and the Warriors in the playoffs?
No, here's what I can't imagine. I can't imagine sitting here watching them fumble around like they did this year with, should we suck or shouldn't we suck? No, you guys should.
And they did.
And they finally committed to
yeah,
sucking.
Yeah.
Okay. But they could have had a much better shot. You know, they didn't suck as badly as Brooklyn. They started shutting down players. That's why I do believe there is the theory that the NBA is going to punish Phoenix for shutting down players. Like Brooklyn didn't have players, right? The Suns said, Eric Bledsoe, you're done. We don't want you to get hurt. Tyson Chandler, you're done. See you later. I think they manipulated lineups. You know, you put some lineups out
sure.
on the floor. Let's just hang in there and then we'll lose.
Mm-hmm.
And it can all end tomorrow night. All of it. There's what, OTAs this week, right? OTAs this week for the Cardinals. Some people are into OTAs in May. Not me. I want to see what's going on now in improving and acquiring talent. The Golden State San Antonio series, so Zaza Pachulia is going to end up getting the MVP award of the NBA, or at least the Western Conference. Western Conference final MVP because of this play yesterday. So the Spurs are playing Golden State. The Warriors are down by 25. They're dead. They're just their dogs rolled over getting their belly scratched. And Kawhi Leonard gets it out on a wing, and Zaza Pachulia tries to make a play, and lands on him, and that's that. See you later, Kawhi Leonard. And they're doing an MRI on him today, and he's gone. So Zaza Pachulia leaving Kawhi Leonard like that. Yeah, that's not good. I don't think it was dirty, though. He's a big guy, right? The Warriors were down 25, and they came all the way back and won. Steve Kerr gave a halftime speech. Watch this again. I don't see that as intentional. Guys, am I missing something here? If you're going to say that's intentional, no, I don't see that as intentional. Just try, as a big guy trying to get out and put a hand in his face.
And that happens all the time in basketball. Yeah. Like a guy will contest a shot and he'll step with one of his – he'll step either with his left leg or his right leg first and extend himself, and that's how ankles get rolled.
I was watching this yesterday. So my Mother's Day was not spent with my mother. Am I a bad kid? Was your Mother's Day spent with your mother, Eric?
No, my mom was out of town.
Okay, mom's out of town. I was at a gym in Avondale. In fact, I'm there in that gym in Avondale with Dan Marley because we're watching our kids. He was on court 3. I was on court 4. I did club basketball in Avondale all weekend. So yesterday morning, Mother's Day morning, 10 a.m., I'm there. I am married to a saint. I'm not going to be divorced today. I might sleep on the couch for a week or so. I mean, she was okay with it, the girl that I sleep with for 29 years. She was fine with it. But yeah, it was just doing basketball stuff. And then I walked over and saw the Spurs-Warriors game, and I saw it first. Spurs are killing them. All right, this is typical NBA playoffs. A team has been off. They're not very good early. They're going to find their rhythm. Spurs have been playing. They don't look tired. And then you see Kawhi go down. And that was that. Joe Namath here in about 10 minutes. The Diamondbacks, so we're starting to see the injuries, and this could be a bad day for the Diamondbacks. This could be a really bad day. The injuries are starting to roll up. So Iannetta takes a ball in the face. I put the picture up on my Twitter feed. It's an iconic shot of this. He looks like one of those characters in Space Jam where the balls hit him and his face just kind of goes, right? So he's out. He's on the DL. And then A.J. Pollock yesterday suffers a groin injury. Now, they couldn't do anything without A.J. Pollock last year. And yesterday was one of their worst games of the season, in my opinion. They left the bases loaded twice in the last 3 innings. It's the stinking Pirates. They can't get a run across. Goldschmidt hit 2 bombs, and then he's at the plate with the bases loaded and takes one, takes the pipe, watches it go right in the glove, cha-ching, out. So they end up losing 6-4 to Pittsburgh. Robbie Ray didn't get into the 5th inning. Robbie Ray can get lots of strikeouts, but Robbie Ray is not having a good year. And so, yeah, they're only 3 games out of first place, but they kind of, to me, they feel like they're teetering. And it almost feels as though that they're 10 games out of first place, even though they're just 3. Like, the Dodgers are just cruising right now. And you've got to rely on Zach Godley tonight against the Pirates. And that's, I mean, against the Mets, rather. The Mets are in town for 3. So that's not something you look at and feel good about. At least I don't. Ray Anderson is in the news cycle this week. So Ray is in Indianapolis. He's now the chairman of the competition committee for college football. There's some big changes looking at staring in the eyes of college football. In my opinion, there are some storm clouds over college football. There are also those that believe that college football is the biggest threat to the NFL game. And so when the NFL puts a team down in Vegas, the college football deal will change. The landscape will change. Vegas now, the gamblers will roll in. They'll want to be part of the action. There's a meeting going on this week that Ray Anderson, the Arizona State Athletic Director, is in charge of. This is in Indianapolis this week, so keep an eye on that. Beth Mowins. So Beth Mowins, for those of you that watch Big Ten football, you like Beth Mowins, E?
I do not, no.
So not a fan of her play-by-play?
Not a fan of her play-by-play.
Or is it the Big Ten itself?
No, I'm just not a fan of her play-by-play.
Are you a fan of a female doing play-by-play?
Sure.
Does that matter to you?
No, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter to me either. Like Doris Burke, I'm fine with
Doris Burke.
She
does a great job. She does a wonderful job.
I am fine. What is that? There's Kara Lawson. I think there's Jessica Mendoza. They all kind of run together in the baseball front, to me.
Yep. Drysdale here with the Suns. She does more of the color work.
She does the color. That's fine. It's a game, right? I'm watching the game. I'm not going to sit there, and if I hear a voice that is not a male voice, I myself am not going to say, I am not watching this. Now, if I hear Rex Ryan as a color analyst, that's who ESPN is teaming Beth up with. So now I got to make the decision of turning it down. Rex's clown show, which guys in our position think it's the greatest. He's so funny. He's so great on the air. He gives great sound bites. No, it's the circus.
But that seems like a good match for her. I wonder if ESPN is just like, just be Rex Ryan and take the focus off of Beth Mowins and put it on yourself. Something that Rex Ryan loves doing.
Oh, he'll do that. You're right. You know, I saw last night when this story broke, the comments towards her were, what position did she play? I don't know. Did Joe Buck play in the NFL and I missed it? What does that have to do with anything? And then there's the dude that, well, does she wear open toes or closed toed shoes because of Rex's foot fetish? Is it funny? I don't know. The lines there in the New York media is going to love this pairing. Rex is back on the air. Let's go out to Rex Ryan, and they're doing the L.A. Chargers-Denver Broncos first game of the season. They're going to do one Monday night game. I do not have high hopes and expectations for Rex Ryan as an analyst. But again, I watch the game to watch the game. I think all of us are in this space now. We go into a sports bar, we go into a Buffalo Wild Wings, we go wherever it is, and the TV volume is down, thankfully, mercifully. I don't see where this should be getting the type of attention that it is. I'm bringing it up today because it's out there. I mean, she was trending last night, and so's Rex. I mean, it was predictable. Rex is going to get his ass fired in Buffalo and then become an analyst. We're not shocked by this. Joe Namath is next. Looking forward to visiting with the Hall of Fame quarterback, Joe Willie Namath, after this timeout. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, our television show on Fox, 18 airings a week. Fox Sports Arizona. Appreciate the partnership with them. Pleasure to be joined now by Hall of Fame quarterback Joe Namath, a legend, an icon, and he is doing a whole lot of things. I mentioned Eric a couple weeks ago. I want to track down Joe Namath because I hear he's doing a lot around the neurological side of things, the Joe Namath Neurological Center in Jupiter, Florida. He's also launched the Joe Namath Foundation. And at one point in time, he could have been a St. Louis Cardinal, which means he could have been out here in Arizona golfing and relaxing, but the Jets came in and said, we're going to pay more money, and so Joe went to the Jets. I have all that right there, right, Mr. Namath?
Oh, Brad, hello, buddy. Yeah, that's right. Going back to, gosh, I guess it was 64, could have been a Cardinal.
Yeah? How close was that, Joe, to you becoming a St. Louis Cardinal?
Well, they're the first people I met with, but after Sonny Werblin and Weeb Eubank got involved and Chuck Knox representing the New York Jets, I was pretty convinced I was going to go to New York Jets. And, you know, the Cardinals had a good quarterback at that time. They already had a quarterback, and it wasn't that I was ducking away from the challenge, but the AFL, the finances, all of it, you know, added up to going to the Jets.
Because there was the AFL, for those fans that aren't aware, the AFL had come in, and the AFL was the Jets. They used the number one pick on you, and you had the good fortune, Joe, of saying, I could be an NFL guy and go with that brand, or an AFL guy and go with that brand. Was it a difficult decision, or was it just money in New York City spoke louder?
Well, it was a difficult decision because I'd been a football fan, just like Dick Butkus, Marty Schottenheimer, all of us that came out, Gale Sayers in that year. And we've followed the NFL from childhood on up through college, but we also followed the American Football League. And I had watched the American Football League play, and I knew they could play. Basically, it was the coach of the Jets was Weeb Eubank, and
right.
He had already coached Johnny Unitas and the Colts to a world championship victory. So I was enthused about working with Coach Eubank, especially so.
We're talking with Joe Namath. I want to get into the Joe Namath Neurological Center in Jupiter, Florida. Joe, we're in a day and age, as you well know, of the concussion issue in the National Football League and in the college game, and parents not sure if their kids should even play. What are you trying to accomplish with the Joe Namath Neurological Center down in Florida?
Well, I'll tell you what, Brad, I've had some friends, teammates that have been suffering, and going back to 2010, 2011, a particular teammate of mine was sharing with myself and the other teammates with the Jets at the time, John Dockery and Winston Hill, guys that were on our Super Bowl team. He was sharing with us what he was going through, the fear, the forgetfulness, the frustration with his memory, with his onset of dementia. And after visiting with Healy for the 4 years and watching him deteriorate, I said, wait a minute, Joe, you know, you've got a family. I've had at least a handful of concussions. So I called some doctors here at the local hospital, and we started a program. We started a test, a cognitive test, a nuclear scan test of my brain, and discovered some cells were not functioning. Wasn't getting the blood flow. So I proceeded to go through a process of hyperbaric oxygen therapy for traumatic brain injuries. And to this day, I had another nuclear scan. This goes back to 2012. And 2 months ago, I had my latest nuclear scan, and the brain is just full of life. Blood flow everywhere. There's not any cells that aren't functioning. So I'm convinced that hyperbaric oxygen therapy for traumatic brain injuries does help. And we sent my report to the FDA, and they said, this is terrific. However, we want to see another 100 studies.
What? Wow.
Yes. So that's what we started here going back to 2013. The Joe Namath Neurological Center here in Jupiter. We started the studies, and we're making our way slowly to reach that goal of 100 studies to send back to the FDA.
And I would imagine, Joe, that 100, that has to be former NFL players, or could it be military vets? Could it be just people in accidents? How are you finding those 100?
Brad, I don't know if you have children or if you were a kid, you ever fell down, bumped your head, but all walks of life are influenced or are capable of having traumatic brain injuries. We have close to 3 million people here in America right now, not counting our veterans, that have had traumatic brain injuries, and they can't get help for that specific ailment or case. Our veterans are getting more help through the Veterans Administration. God, I hope so. But we're talking about children. People from all walks of life have traumatic brain injuries. And to this day, there's no insurance to help anybody, to help anyone with the treatment of traumatic brain injuries. So we have to complete this study. We have to get it done so more people have a chance to have a process to help them.
It's really, really amazing. We're talking with Hall of Famer Joe Namath. You launched the Joe Namath Foundation earlier. What is going on that front?
Well, you know what? Going back, Brad, to when I was a kid, you know, my family tried to help out in every way they could back in Pennsylvania. But when I was a kid, the first charity that I could remember, other than selling poppies for Little League Baseball, you know, paper poppies.
Yeah, yeah.
The first charity that I could remember is we were going around for the March of Dimes, collecting dimes to try to cure polio. Dr. Salk came up with the vaccine, and this was before polio was cured. And by God, he came up with a vaccine that, for the most part, has cured polio. And I continued to work with the March of Dimes. I still do. for the last 23 years on a regular basis. And it's been wonderful because when we see children with ailments and all, you know, it's God bless them, but it also affects the families too, a whole lot of people. Well, we've started a foundation. I started a foundation because there are other charities that I like to help.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to reach out and I want to do more, being able to help a variety of groups, which I do. So that's how the foundation has come into play.
He is an icon. He is a Hall of Famer. He is a football legend, Joe Namath, with us on the show. Do you like today's NFL, Joe, when you watch the game? Is it the same to you?
No, it's faster. It's better. It's a higher quality. You know what, Brad? If we didn't improve upon a whole lot of things in the last 50 years, we'd be in big trouble. And the NFL has just been like that. Or football, not just the NFL, high school football, college football, man. The coaches have benefited from guys that like Weeb Ewbank, who I mentioned is a coach that coached under Paul Brown, you know, the early leaders in the game, Sid Gilman, Vince Lombardi. These coaches helped Bruce Arians get ready.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Bruce Arians studied under Coach Bryant, too, for a while at Alabama. And our coaches today have benefited from the guys before them, just as the players today are benefiting with their training methods, being able to eat properly, to train better. Heck, there was a time when football season would end for us, and we wouldn't see one another until 6 months later,
right,
for training camp, 7 months later. And, Brad, there was also the time when I was playing when several of my teammates would come to practice after having already gone to work in the morning on their other job, you know, the job they worked year-round. We had guys with two jobs. So I do appreciate the game today. Again, the athletes are just wonderful in all sports, better than ever. And football, both collegiately and professionally, as a fan, I like the tempo. I like the up-tempo. I like the speed. You know, it's a brutal game, by the way, physically. When we talk about brain injuries, Brad, you know, it's not just football either, and it's scattered around, as I mentioned, all walks of life, but sports, goodness gracious, hockey, you know, heading the ball for youngsters, playing soccer, you know, we can't. We're not going to eradicate head injuries, traumatic brain injuries, but we can sure help protect ourselves a little better than we had earlier.
Do you know Bruce Arians well? And if so, what do you think of the job he's doing out here, Joe, in Arizona with Carson Palmer?
I know Bruce because he's a Pennsylvanian, buddy.
Yeah.
And when Bruce came to Alabama, we hooked up, man. We got together because Alabama was kind of different for both of us. We were Yankees, and of course, Bruce had the opportunity to be down there at Alabama and work with Gene Stallings, and I think Coach Bryant was still there, but I'm not sure. And Bruce and I have been in touch over the years. He, you know, when he was back, especially working with the Steelers, too, back in my neck of the woods, 28 miles from Pittsburgh. And our paths cross. You know, football people go to football functions and our paths cross many times. So I've been a big fan of Bruce's, especially when he got that Temple job, you know, started following him as a head coach, man. Proud to see him advance from the player to the assistant running backs coach, man, you know, and just keep growing and being the head coach that he's become at Arizona. He's doing wonderfully.
Yeah, it's amazing, Joe, that he was passed over or not even looked at to be considered as a head coach. And then he comes out here and he's breathed life into Carson Palmer, Bruce Arians, and Larry Fitzgerald all join together here. There's talk that the three of them will decide at one point. They'll all walk away from the game at the same time. But we enjoy having Bruce out here for sure.
Oh, he's a really good football coach. There's no doubt about it. You really have to have the passion to stick with it, as you know. Being a coach, a teacher, a patient fella, but yet demanding. And his way is the right way. His way, he's the boss. You know, different coaches may have different philosophies, but Bruce has been successful, and I wish him the best, man. I really do. I hope he wins the championship. I don't think my Jets or the Jets of the New York area are going to be in the hunt this year or the next year, so I hope Arizona wins the next two.
A couple other questions for the Hall of Famer. We'll let you go. You talk about the Jets. What are they going to do at quarterback, Joe? What do you do there in New York?
Well, you need somebody that has an eye for a quarterback. And so far, they haven't had anyone in the organization that can pick a quarterback. And right now, they brought in Josh McCown, you know, and he's a journeyman quarterback, a terrific leader, a great team player, a great locker room guy, on and off the field. You want him in your business. You want him on your side. But Josh hasn't had a good team to play with through most of his career, and the Jets need to rebuild at that position. Right now, the Jets are rebuilding.
Yep.
You know, they're in a rebuilding process. They don't expect I don't know what to expect. After watching Bryce Petty last year get an opportunity, he might be able to win the job. I'm not sure. I doubt it. I haven't seen enough of Hackenberg. And if you pick a guy, why don't you use him? You know, and let, or else just admit, hey, he can't play. We get rid of him. Hackenberg has been a mystery. So we'll find out in the preseason, I hope, who the best player is. And I would like it to be a young guy because realistically, again, the Jets aren't going to make the playoffs this year.
Right.
And they can build and maybe make the playoffs in a season or so, and it's going to take a good quarterback to get them there and the young quarterback. I just, you know, I'm a fan of Josh's to some extent, McCown, but I don't think he's going to be there long enough to get him to the playoffs.
Joe, you're a Hall of Famer, and so I value your opinion on this because of the position and what you did in your career. When you see Tom Brady, if you're ranking quarterbacks in the NFL through the history of the game, you've seen Unitas all the way to Brady. Where do you put Tom Brady?
Well, you know, if we ball players, if we can get it out of our head that we're ranking athletes, you know, because mm-hmm. we've seen maybe better athletes than one guy or the other. If we're ranking accomplishments, we've got to look at guys like Otto Graham, for example, in Cleveland. Current day, you've got to say Tom Brady leads the list. And I'll tell you why. I mean, first of all, let's not talk about Tom for a minute. Talk about Bill Belichick and that group that has been there for some time. Tom knows darn well he is fortunate to be in that mix. But he has done everything that has been asked of him to be the best quarterback in the league. Year in and year out, the consistency that he's shown has been spectacular. Even the years that they lost in the Super Bowl, you couldn't put the blame. No one could say, oh, Brady, you know, he just didn't play up to it or whatever. Excuse me. He has played beautifully. So if you're going to put a list together, yeah, I wouldn't argue with anybody that would say, okay, let's start out with Tom Brady.
All right.
You know, I mentioned Otto Graham because 10 years in a row, whatever it was at Cleveland, they go to the championship. But the games change, people change. But, yeah, you know, please. I have to say Tom has been the best with the opportunities and the challenges that he's been confronted with and the way he's owned up.
All right, so we have golf courses out here, and Bruce Arians is out here. When is Joe Namath going to get out here? You don't want to come in the middle of summer when it's 115. Do you get to Arizona much, Joe?
I tell you what, I have an old teammate out there named Joe Jackson, was a defensive end with the Jets and then the Redskins and all, and they have a get-together this summer, the International Ministries get-together out there and have a big dinner. I'm not sure if it's late June or July. I think it's late June, but I'm coming out there at least once in this coming summer, that's for sure.
That's
God
great.
Willing. You know?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, at the end of June. Yeah.
There you go. Joe, I really appreciate the time and the visit. Good catching up with you. Thanks.
Thank you, Brad. Take care.
There's Joe Namath, the Hall of Famer, football icon, football legend. Really good stuff there. You can go to NamathNeuroCenters.org. NamathNeuroCenters.org to get more information. That's really fascinating what he's doing on the neurological front. Joe Namath Neurological Center. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sismat. Thanks again to Joe Namath being with us here on Monday. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Had some people that sent notes in on this. They want that web address. Again, it's NamathNeuroCenters.org. NamathNeuroCenters.org. It's good to catch up with Joe. So, Eric, I wanted to talk to Joe Namath here on this concussion thing because there's it feels like every time I get around a former athlete, there is something bothering them. You know, that the toll and the dollars that they were paid to go play. And when they get in their 40s and their 50s and beyond that, Joe sounded pretty good.
Did sound good. And referencing your point, I thought it was interesting. He said that some of his teammates had to work full-time jobs when they weren't playing football.
Yeah.
To supplement their income because back then, only the elite players made enough money to get by.
So Joe signed, to your point on that, when the Cardinals were in St. Louis. I had this in my notes I was reading over the weekend on him. He signed for $427,000 with the Jets, which at the time was a king's ransom, right?
I was about to say, a lot of money back then.
This is mid-60s. What if Joe Namath had just decided to go play for the St. Louis Cardinals? What if, you know, you look at that a player could have gone one of two directions. Joe Namath decides to go play for the St. Louis Cardinals. We never have the Jets. We never have the guarantee. We never have them beating the Colts. We never have Broadway Joe. You know, of course, people are texting me, asking about Susie Cobbler and trying to kiss her and all that stuff. And no, I don't need to go there. Because what's he going to say? Do you regret it? Of course. I was just having fun.
Or there was something else going on that night. So.
Yeah, well, of course. Of course.
Happy hour. We'll just call it happy hour.
It was happy hour for a long time, it looked like. But I think that if you look at a guy like Joe Namath, and then you look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady's like the present-day Joe Namath, but just not nearly out there like Joe Namath. Like, if you look at pictures of Joe Namath, and I was too young, I don't remember, but I went back and I looked at this. When I had an interest in sports, like, oh, I want to learn. You will see that Joe Namath, the week that he made the guarantee in the Super Bowl, is poolside with a whole bunch of reporters just hanging around with him at the pool. That would never happen in this day and age.
And he always wore those lavish, like, mink fur coats or whatever, and he'd roll around like the Don Juan, which he was back in. I mean, it would have been cool if I was alive back then and I could see a guy like Joe Namath.
Well,
play.
But look, is Tom Brady's got Giselle.
Yeah.
Right,
but Tom Brady is not, like you said, he is not. He does not want to be in the forefront. He's okay being in the forefront, but he doesn't really like it.
But he's the really good-looking guy.
Yep.
Okay. He's got the really good-looking girl under his arm. Now, Joe had lots of good-looking girls
under
his arm. That was a different deal. Joe Namath modeled pantyhose back in the day. How many people could do that? Could, you know, how many people could do a spot and put that on and get away with it? In this day and age, how many guys can do that? Like we've seen, Joe Namath was so far out in front. Hey, guys, this is who I am. he was so gracious with his time. It was fun. It was great. A guy that's not been so gracious with his time lately has been Steve Harvey. And I bring this up because this story, do I have any rules here?
No.
Am I a dictator?
No. I like the seamless transition from Joe Namath to Steve Harvey.
That's what's on my mind.
Okay.
That's what this show's all about.
It is the Brad Sussman show, so continue.
It is free flowing. We don't sit here and script. We don't have meetings like, if we talk about this, it's going to trend really hard. No, we don't do that. We don't sit here and say, what are the top five things on Twitter, and we're going to turn it into a show. I mean, there's times where you address it, but I think this Steve Harvey story is funny to me, actually. So Steve Harvey, for those of you and some of you that watch this show, we have people that watch a show 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. They get off their work from during the day, and it's the beauty of digital media. It's not immediate. It can be if you want it to be. You can watch this on your time. That's why companies like Netflix are thriving. People just are busy and they go out and do their own thing. Steve Harvey is going to move his daytime talk show. Some of you watch this during the day. I myself have watched it maybe a couple of times. I think the closest to Steve Harvey is when Jared Cohen worked here and he was on Family Feud and he was telling us all about it. You know, that was about the closest to Steve Harvey that I get to. I'm not into that type of show. For me, I'm just not there. He's moving his daytime talk show to Los Angeles this fall. But he did not take all of his staff with him from Chicago, where he wrapped it up. So he sent out a memo to his staff that came out in the Chicago media this last week. And I when I first saw this story, I think it was last Friday, it was, well, you know, we can jump all over this, but I kind of want to let this play out and just see where it goes. Steve Harvey told his employees, and if you're the boss of your company, follow me on this one. He told his employees not to approach him. Now, I've done that with Eric many times. Jared Nielsen, Jordan, Haley, interns, whomever. You don't come near me. In all seriousness, Steve Harvey, quote, do not come to my dressing room unless invited. Do not approach me while I'm in the makeup chair unless I ask to speak with you directly. Do not take offense to the new way of doing business. It is for the good of my personal life and enjoyment. So Variety reports that the memo was sent to his staff in Chicago before the start of the fifth season of his daytime talk show. Steve Harvey ran five seasons of national syndication. If we were doing a nationally syndicated five-day-a-week show, I don't think I would be much different than I am here with the staff. I'm really big into, and I've done, when we were first started doing this stuff 30 years ago, we had producers and we would have meetings and I would find them to be in the world of TV. All the meetings were is to try to get a cameraman organized to go shoot something and a producer to go get some fonts put in place. There's a lot of backdoor stuff that most fans aren't interested in. But I think it's pretty funny. Are you guys in your space with your industry where you tell your employees, don't bother me, essentially is what's happening. So Variety, of course, asked for him to comment on all of this. And the memo was leaked reportedly by a former staff member who may not have been invited to work on the new LA-based show. What a surprise, what a shock. He did a segment on his talk show earlier this year. He poked fun at Asian men. In summer of 2015, he was trending on Twitter for a homophobic rant on his show. He hosts Celebrity Family Feud, Little Big Shots, spinoff series. He's attached to Fox's upcoming Showtime at the Apollo revival. The full memo is this. Have I done a memo yet, Eric? Do we need to?
I don't think I've ever received a memo, no.
Is it time to just bang one out here?
If you want to.
Would you read it?
Yeah, I read everything.
Do you read everything?
Yeah. Sometimes I roll my eyes when I read it, but I read everything you send me.
That's fine. Have you ever written me a memo? Maybe you should write me a memo.
I'm sure, and I'm sure you've shaken your head in disgust.
No, I don't read them. That's how it works. It's from Eric. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back. I'd like you all to review and adhere to the following notes and rules for season 5 of my talk show. Not our talk show, my talk show. There will be no meetings in my dressing room, no stopping by or popping in, no one. No stopping in on my talk show, not our talk show. Do not come to my dressing room unless invited. Do not open my dressing room door. If you open my door, expect to be removed. you do not come into this studio.
Look at how happy he looks right there. He doesn't seem like a grumpy guy.
My security team will stop everyone from standing at my door. There's a lot of my's going on here, right? My talk show, my door, my security. My security team will stop everyone from standing at my door who have the intent to see or speak to me. I want all ambushing to stop now. That
There's
includes TV staff. You must schedule an appointment. I have been taken advantage of by my lenient policy in the past. This ends now. No more capitalization. No more. Do not approach me while I'm in the makeup chair unless I ask to speak with you directly. Either knock or use the doorbell. We need a doorbell here in the studio. We don't have a doorbell. We need a Steve Harvey doorbell. Of course we do.
You don't have a dressing room, so we don't have a lot to worry about.
No, here. I dress in here.
Yeah, you dress in the studio. Yes. That's how big league we are.
So. I am seeking more free time for me throughout the day. Do not wait and... Well, let's go back on this. I'm seeking more free time for me throughout the day, yet I'm launching another show over on Fox. This is great. Do not wait in any hallway to speak to me. I hate being ambushed. Please make an appointment. I promise you I will not entertain you in the hallway, and do not attempt to walk with me. If you're reading this, I mean you. Everyone, do not take offense to the new way of doing business. It is for the good of my personal life and enjoyment. Thank you all, Steve Harvey. I got to write a memo. I'm just going to send a memo. Bosses, do you guys have memos like this?
Would it be lots of me's, eyes,
oh,
and not a lot of we's? Usually with you, we get a lot of we's if there's an email.
We and us.
We and
need
us.
To do this. Mm-hmm. Us. We're in this together. Come on. I get it. You've reached a point where you've just got to make it. Because you're rolling in gobs of money. But, you know, it's about the people. It's about the people. That's crazy. It's what, you know, when you make that much money, do you have to boss people around like that? When I go out and do these movie things and I'll sit there with an actor or actress, I've seen them berate and rip on their assistants for all sorts of things that are pretty nonsensical. And then I'll see other ones that are just very normal, very like, hey, how's your family? Or I got to text my wife because I've got to pick her up for dinner or whatever. It doesn't matter if they're going to Spago or Burger King. I don't care. Anyway, Steve Harvey. It's beautiful. Love that. On the other side, Ray Anderson is in the news cycle. I'm going to touch on this a little bit more. We'll do that next on a Monday. Tonight, we have Game 7, Wizards at Celtics for the right to get beat by LeBron. That's all that is. And we have the Diamondbacks meeting the Mets for three game set. Back with more after this timeout. All right, a couple other stories before we get out of here. Again, in the next, what would it be, about 36 hours from now, we're going to know if all the effort of all the sucking downtown on Jefferson Street by the Suns is paid off with the lottery. I think it's around 5 o'clock tomorrow, between 5 and 5:30 is when the lottery comes out, Arizona time tomorrow, and you will find out if the Suns get the number one overall pick in the NBA draft. They have a good shot of doing so, not the best shot of doing so. And those that think because they tanked intentionally, the league is going to find a way, however they go about it, that the Suns will not get the number one pick or the number two overall pick. But if they do, Eric, I think you told me the other day you're done with Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, but you're not done with it. So when you're not done with it, that means I'm not done with it.
You're done with Lonzo Ball, and you're done with a couple of other players that have shown up on the site a lot lately. Yes.
I mean,
there's reasons.
Of course, there's reasons why we cover these guys, but it just, you know, it's just...
We got it.
It's just overkill. I mean, especially with the balls. I'm ready for all of this to disappear, but I know we're just scratching the surface on what's going to be... Probably a nice 5-6 year long saga, unless whoever drafts him tells the dad to please go away, go to the background.
So we like Ramona Shelburne, right? We're both fans of
hers.
So she has just released that she has done a sit down with Lonzo and dad together. So that's going to come out, and that's going to be everywhere here in the next 24 hours. I see certain on air talent. That their producers, they're posting their texts with their producers. Do you want LeVar for this segment? No. in exclamation points. Like, they're so done with him too. But you know and I know that if tomorrow night the Suns, if the Suns get the one or two, then we should get LeVar on the show, right? I mean, we really should.
It's going to be best, Brad, when whoever drafts Lonzo,
yeah,
and LeVar is the one that goes up on stage and puts on the hat and shakes the commissioner's hand and does the interview.
He's not going to put on a hat. He's going to put on a big baller hat.
Yeah, and the kid's going to go in the background. That's true. And he's going to be wearing a shoe. He's going to have a nice suit on and then those crappy shoes that they're selling for $400 and some odd.
Have you seen those yet?
Yeah.
Are they out?
Yeah.
Like around town?
Well, no. I think you have to special order them.
You have to special order
them. They're on back order. They're not going to be available until, I think, the fall.
Huh. You're not interested in those, right?
No.
I haven't seen any kids wear them
yet. Could you afford a $425 pair of shoes?
No, I couldn't. I work here.
It's true.
I think that in the youth circle, I'm looking at kids' shoes because I'm expecting us to play my son's sixth grade team. That's about when you would find a dad that would say, yeah, those are really cool and we should buy those. No, it's not happening.
And the Sesmats with Cole's feet growing so fast. I mean, he probably goes through shoes like once
a
year, right?
He's wearing my shoes, believe it or not. I gave a pair of my high tops to use. He's 12.
Man.
But seriously, if they get the one or two, then we should try to get LeVar on the show. I think that's fair. As much as I'm going to sit here and say, LeVar, you really don't want to be here in Phoenix, right? Well, I don't want to put words in your mouth, LeVar. Do you want to be here in Phoenix? Why is it you keep talking about the Lakers and not Phoenix? If the Suns have the number one pick, we have to have LeVar on the show.
And if you're Robert Sarver or Ryan McDonough and you have the number one pick, how much does that weigh into your decision as to whether you take Ball or Markelle Fultz? It has to, doesn't it? I mean, you can't just keep a guy for 3 years and be like, oh, yeah, bye, I'm going to play for the Lakers, or 4 years, however long the rookie deals are.
If tomorrow night they get one or two, it completely changes the Suns organization for the first time since – in terms of interest,
long time. Oh yeah,
since probably Shaq came here.
I'd say so. I was thinking like the 7 seconds or less when we were all on pins and needles. We couldn't wait for the next Suns game,
right?
And then when Shaq came here, that was a huge deal too.
Well, but Shaq came here and it was such a mismatch. It was like, really, they brought in a plodding big man
who couldn't shoot free throws to be around a bunch of shooters who were all very good free throw shooters.
But when was the last time, in all seriousness, when was the last time that we had anything of major consequence, serious consequence, of a player looking at coming here? And they'll say LaMarcus Aldridge, and I'll say, yeah, you guys put up the banner downtown. Like, it was one of the worst days in Phoenix sports that we've had.
That was a bad marketing decision.
That was
you could just go back and put that on the what not to do training video.
That's why I love you. That's why I love you. That was a bad marketing decision.
I guess I could say marketing ploy, but a ploy usually means it's a good idea.
But tomorrow night, Ryan McDonough is supposed to meet with the media. And if they get one or two, he's going to get asked over and over and over about Lonzo and LeVar. If they don't get one or two, let's just say they get three. Could they trade Bledsoe and three to move up to get one or two? I think that you can't just write it off if they're that aggressive. And you've got an owner that just wants attention. Robert loves attention. So I think all this is really interesting. Before I get out of here, Ray Anderson is in Indianapolis. He is at the competition committee for college football. College football realizes they've got a problem. Now, some of the problems may involve Dan Bickley wrote about this over the weekend, about players that are not playing in bowl games. And I've talked to other sides of the street on this one that said it's really not that big of a deal. That Christian McCaffrey didn't play. They're talking about unredshirting players. If you only play in four games, it doesn't count towards your red shirt. You could take that stud tailback who's sitting out, and you could allow him to go through the practices and then allow him to play in the postseason. Ray's got a lot of ground to cover on this, and the fact that they've made Ray Anderson the chairman of the competition committee. Here's a guy that knows the NFL inside and out. A guy that said, I want out of the NFL. I'm going to go run a college program. And who's right here in the Valley. To me, he becomes very interesting this week. Really interesting. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. If you just jumped in on this show, it repeats for the next 24 hours over and over and over. We put up in podcast form as well on our website at sports360az.com. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen produces. Jordan Hamm, Justin Toscano, Haley Stasiak, and a cast of them. I'm Brad Sussmat. Enjoy your Monday.